You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Tuesday. Looking ahead to all the action from Leicester and Catterick in the afternoon and Nottingham and Chelmsford in the evening. You can join Sam Norris, Andrew Mount and Tom Morley on Racing Radio live from 1:50pm. But for now, there's a slight sense of deja vu here on the Daily Racing Podcast. For it's I, John Gibby, alongside Lord John Budden. It's the same lineup as yesterday on the podcast,
there
John.
Groans all around the UK, John. Maybe the occasional applause somewhere.
I don't think, well, certainly in the time I've been here, this has never happened before. The same lineup on the Daily Racing Podcast, 2 days in a row.
Absolutely right. Of course, it should have been the Silver Fox, McNaughton, yesterday, but sadly he wasn't quite fit enough to be here.
Well, they get the absolute joy of hearing your dulcet tones for 2 days in a row there, John. We'll have a look at some of the racing for Tuesday in a minute. But first off, as usual on the Tuesday Racing Podcast, we look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post. Of course, the trade newspaper asks some of the big questions of the week, and we like to give them our own answers here on the Racing Podcast. And some of these we sort of touched on a bit in yesterday's podcast, John, but we can go into them in a little bit more detail now. And the first, it's all about Nassau winner Winter and how serious a contender for the Arc she might be.
Well, Aidan O'Brien is the man who will certainly make the decision, and one would respect what he decides to do. My own point of view is that Winter is a really tremendous mover. A mile, still in my view, is her best trip. She stayed at Goodwood a mile and a quarter. I don't really think there's any necessity to go up to a mile and a half. I'd be slightly surprised if, in fact, Coolmore decide to run Winter in the Arc.
Coolmore will probably want a sort of a superstar in the Arc, though. Do you think? Can you see any other options for them?
I mean, say that's perfectly true. And if they decide, I would respect that decision very much. If Winter was mine, which would be a lovely thought, John, I would tend to keep her to the slightly shorter trip. It is possible, though, that the Arc this year, it's still at Chantilly, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
The course might suit Winter. So, my own view is no, but I would respect the connections if they decided to go for the big one, because I think she is a marvellous filly.
I think it's been difficult for connections as well with the sudden retirement of Minding. Clearly, she was supposed to be their Arc horse, and now they don't really know what to do in that respect. But if you do want to back Winter for the Arc, she's currently 10-1 with us here at William Hill. Highland Reel, of course, would be the other potential contender from the Aidan O'Brien stable for the race. Is he quite good enough as open debate? But he'd be 12-1. Would that seem a more appealing price to you, John?
Not really. No. I think, if the connections were to decide to send Winter, I would definitely be on Winter rather than Highland Reel.
Okay, the thoughts of Lord John Budden there on Winter potentially taking on the Arc, the European Middle Distance showpiece. We'll be very excited to see what happens with that. And also looking at some slightly sort of middle to longer term prospects in terms of the big Group 1 races coming up. Next, we are Stradivarius and Crystal Ocean, two impressive winners at Goodwood, John, and two potential runners in the St. Ledger. What do you make of their chances?
Yes, of the two, assuming the ground at Doncaster is going to be reasonably good, it generally is in September, quite often in the north, John, as you probably know, we get better weather in September and October than we do in June or July.
Yeah.
And certainly I think that'll be the case this year, hopefully. Stratovarius was a brave winner of the Goodwood Cup. And obviously is a horse who stays the trip really well. He certainly won't lack stamina for the St. Ledger. manager. But I do think Crystal Ocean's got a touch of class. And again, if Connections decide to go for the St. Ledger rather than keep the horse perhaps under wraps for something better next year, then I would be on Crystal Ocean. I think he's got a change of gear. I think he's improved as the year's gone on. Interesting, as I said yesterday, that when interviewed on the way back after winning at Goodwood, Ryan Moore was fairly clear that he thought the horse was a mile and a half horse and would be much better next year. But Sir Michael's got a good record with this sort of horse, and he might well decide to go for the St. Ledger. And if I think Crystal Ocean were in the field, I would tend to support Crystal Ocean rather than Stradivarius.
They're both 9-2 for the big race at Doncaster. The William Hill St. Ledger on the 16th of September. I think my only concern with Stradivarius concerns the race, or one of my concerns would be, I know you don't need to be quick to win a Ledger, but I think at times in the Goodwood Cup he looked a bit slow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean? He plodded.
John. I entirely agree. That's why I think, Crystal Ocean has got the touch of class, the change of gear, the acceleration, and could be ideal for the St. Ledger myself, whatever Ryan may have said after the race.
Well, we move from the stayers now, completely down to the opposite end of spectrum on the flat, and those are the quick sprinters, including King George Stakes winner Batush, an impressive winner of the race he was as well. A potential clash between himself and your Royal Ascot winner Lady Aurelia coming up in the non-foot stakes at York's Ebor meeting. John, how would you see that tussle turning out?
Well, again, depending a little bit on the ground, I mean, were it to be similar at Doncaster to Goodwood, then I think Batash would have a great chance. But I personally don't think it will be. I think we'll get good ground at Doncaster, at York rather. And for me, Lady Aurelia was a really impressive winner at Royal Ascot, and she looked as though she'd regained, if she had lost, any of the touch and power that she'd had last year as a really precocious and enormously large two-year-old. I thought she ran very well, and I see no real reason why she shouldn't repeat that victory in the Nunthorpe. Batash was impressive, but for me, Batash was definitely favoured by the soft ground at Goodwood, and unless Batash gets a similar surface at York, I will be with Lady Aurelia.
Feels a bit to me like a Lady Aurelia ran one flat race in her life at Newmarket last year, the back end, and people were now trying to come up with reasons to get her beaten all the time, when if you look at the win she recorded at Royal Ascot both years and a couple of races she's had in the US, they've been very impressive.
Very impressive. And, I thought she was outstanding at Royal Ascot, and she seemed to settle much better than perhaps might have been the case earlier in her career. And I could see that York would suit her down to the ground.
Well, last year, Lady Aurelia was one of the star two-year-olds in the world of flat racing. And now we look at this year's crop of two-year-olds. Expert Eye, a very impressive winner of the Vintage Stakes. Do you think that was the most impressive juvenile performance of the week, John?
Yeah, I think it probably was. Expert Eye, I mean, just win the Vintage Stakes by four lengths on what was really a very thin preparation, really, was absolutely outstanding, stunning victory. And there's no reason why Expert Eye shouldn't go on to greater things. And certainly, I think he was the most outstanding two-year-old on show. However, having said that, Mark Johnston is a trainer who one should always watch out for at this time of year with promising two-year-olds. And I did think DXB, I think is the name of the horse,
yeah,
which ran so well on Saturday, was an interesting prospect. And Mark loves to win two-year-old races at Newmarket at the back end. And if DXB were to go for one of those quite valuable two-year-old races at Newmarket at the autumn meetings there, I should be watching to see how he goes. He looked to be a very useful sort indeed.
I'll be very interested to see how both Expert Eye and DXB get on as they come towards the back end of their two-year-old campaigns. This next question, John, we talked about quite extensively on the podcast yesterday, but we'll just sort of recap your thoughts and touch on this briefly. And it's what is made of the Sussex Stakes, of course, run in, shall we say, the ground we didn't hope it would be run on.
No, and I think that was a crucial factor. Ribchester just didn't seem to go through it as well as one, you know, thought he probably would, because he had acted on soft ground, for example, at Newbury in the Lockinge perfectly well. But it was exceptionally deep, and he clearly didn't really appreciate it. He hung away from the stalls, from the stands rails. However, he did rally strongly in the closing stages, I thought, John. Mm. And as we said yesterday, or as I said yesterday, the conditions underfoot for the Sussex Stakes really did suit a horse like Here Comes When, who was stepping up in class, admittedly, but had shown all his best form on really heavy ground. So I don't think it was a disgrace, and I would think Ribchester will come back again in very strong and confident style.
Well, Ribchester, of course, an absolute superstar he's been for Richard Farr. He'll be very interesting to see if and when he can bounce back from only a narrow defeat in the Sussex Stakes on softer ground. And John, the final question, looking back at Goodwood, or I suppose Galway, if you want to go that way, what was your big eye catcher of all the exciting racing last week?
Well, I'll stick to Goodwood. I've got two who are more or less six of one and a half a dozen of the other. I thought Marsha ran really well in the King George on ground that did not suit. And if Sir Mark can find a really good, valuable race for Marsha where the ground is, good or even quicker than good, I think Marsha's definitely got a really big race in him before the end of the season. And the other one I like was Growl, of course. I think Growl looks absolutely ready to pick up one of the big sprint handicaps that are coming up in the next sort of month or so. It might be the Great St. Wilfrid, for example, at Ripon, or it could be the Air Gold Cup. I think Growl needs to be watched.
Ran impressively enough without sort of going so close or doing so well that his handicap mark will be sort of brought into question as a result of that.
Yeah, I mean, he was well there at the furlong marker, not all that far behind the leading group. I thought he raced rather more prominently than is usually the case, and I just feel that a slightly more patient run could see Growl coming strong and fast in the closing stages of one of the big handicap sprints.
Well, the thoughts of John Bunn there on all the action last week at Goodwood. But now we move our attentions to Tuesday's action. As I've mentioned, we've got meetings at Catterick, at Chelmsford, at Nottingham and Leicester on Racing Radio on Tuesday. We've got a few races to look at here, John, a few selections from yourself. And we start with the 2:45 at Catterick, a 5-furlong handicap sprint for horses aged 3 and above. We've got 13 going to post in this one. What do you make of it?
Well, it's an interesting sort of race. I like this one. It's not very high class, of course, but actually looking through the afternoon's racing and indeed some of the evening racing, it is relatively modest but competitive. And this is certainly the case for a 13-runner sprint at Catterick, the 2:45 here over 5 furlongs. Draw. I tend to think that when there's rain about at Catterick, that it is a good idea actually over 5 furlongs to be drawn relatively high and come up to stands rails. And a horse like Bond Bombshell, for example, from David O'Meara's stable in this contest, is drawn 1. I'm not absolutely certain that that is the case. And I've gone for 3 horses in this race who are relatively high draw, close to the stands rails, and one of them is C. Vermont, who runs well at Catterick. A very consistent horse for Rebecca Bastiman, drawn 12 in this contest. It was actually a winner last time out at Musselburgh. Could have been a little bit fortunate in that C. Vermont was awarded the race in the steward's room, but ran well and has been knocking at the door, as have been quite a lot of the stables horses over the past month. So I think C. Vermont will go pretty well. Another horse who goes well at Catterick in this kind of event is Wind for Power, Tracy Waggett's sprinter. A decent second at Beverly last time out, beaten by Tarbouche. Again, likes Catterick. And then a third possibility here, drawn 10, so again towards the stands rails, is Lady Joanna Vassar. Now, Richard Guest has hit just a little bit of a purple patch, John. I was aghast to see the horse I had been waiting for all this year won last time out, Ambitious Icarus, and he's had one or two other horses going well. Lady Joanna Vassar has been a little bit disappointing during the summer, but did actually run quite well a Force Lass last time out. So my three in that race are Lady Joanna Vassar, A Win for Power, and the selection, which is C. Vermont
is the horse John Bunn's going for as well. A couple of favourable mentions for some of the others in Catterick's 2:45, and we will stay at Catterick now for the race 2 hours later at 4:45. This is a 2 mile handicap for stayers aged 3 and above. We've got 10 going to post in this one. I don't know about you, John, but I really like these long distance handicaps. I think they're great fun.
I do too, and they're exactly the sort of race which I always follow carefully at Catterick, and there are a number of possibilities here. Attention Seeker from the Inform Tim Easterby's stable, you know, could go quite well. Will Story's got his horses running quite well, although Jan Smuts was in fact last of five, I think, when we last saw. But nevertheless, runs pretty soundly over 2 miles and likes Catterick. I thought there were two in the race who had outstanding claims in a fairly modest race. Angels in the Snow is one of them. Trained, of course, by Brian Ellison, and is going to be ridden by his really quite decent and improving apprentice, Ben Robinson, who's good value for his claim. Word about Brian Ellison. I mean, he got 1, 2, 3 in the big races at Galway on Sunday, and it was great to see a British trainer doing that. And I just feel that more UK trainers should consider sending their horses to the big meetings in Ireland. Prize money awfully good, and there's no reason why, you know, particularly if they act on softish ground, they shouldn't run well. The tremendous win by Dream Walker in that big race at Galway on Sunday. So he's got Angel in the Snow, who was quite a decent second here at Catterick last time out, beaten by Canny Style. However, the top one is the one I like, Italian Riviera. Ken Slack, who trains near Appleby in Cumbria, and his family have been doing tremendously well. Arthur Slack, his father, well-known colours, scarlet with the yellow spots. Lots of gambles landed in that direction. And Ken has a marvellous strike rate at Catterick. It is one of the courses where his horses always seem to go well. And I thought that Italian Riviera, second last time out, could go one better despite the weight.
Italian Riviera there for John in the 45 at Catterick. We'll move now to the 6:50 at Chelmsford. It's a handicap over a mile. It's a decent looking affair, this one, John. We've got some nice types in it.
Yes, and you know, good. Well done to Chelmsford for putting on this race. Really good, valuable prize. And we've got Tom Morley, who's going to be in the studio on Tuesday. And his horse Pactolus is running in this race. Stuart Williams trains. And if ever there was a horse who thrives on Chelmsford, it is Pactolus. And he's been running on the turf in much better company than perhaps he meets here at Sandown and at Newmarket. But speaking to Tom earlier today, Monday, he said that, of course, the turf has been a problem for Pactolus this summer because he is a horse who basically on turf needs a good fast surface, and there simply haven't been races to suit on that type of surface. So he's back here in Chelmsford. I think connections are hopeful he's going to run a big race. He is drawn 12, which is a worry. Tom thinks that if he's going in fact to be beaten, he could be beaten by the draw on 12, but he he's relatively optimistic, and I think he'll go well, Pactolus. What to beat? Well, obviously, Luca Cumani's got a real possibility here, because he's got La Rav running here, seeking a hat-trick, and La Rav has been, you know, a decent winner at Newbury and Salisbury, and has to be, I think, the favourite for this contest. Could go off at a fairly short price, but, you know, he hasn't actually experienced of winning, certainly at Chelmsford, and Pactolus has. The other one I quite like, although he's in and out, is Thomas Cranmer, Mark Johnston's runner. I saw that win at Musselburgh back in June. His form's been pretty in and out since then. He was outlasted in the Britannia, but he has ability, and he looks to be on quite a good mark. William Buick in the saddle. Those are my three. I think if you back Pactolus each way, you won't be far away from the money.
John likes Pactolus in the 650 at Chelmsford. I just want to put in a mention of a Carbitation as well, as a horse I've been following for a little while. You will not see a more impressive debut from a horse than his debut in a Thirsk Maiden last summer. Then came back, was entered in a couple of races in handicaps, and was just showing a couple of issues with temperament, had to be withdrawn at the start a couple of times. Slightly disappointed, but ran a solid enough race at York last time. Carbitation could be one of note for David O'Mara in that 6.50 at Chelmsford.
Absolutely right. And David O'Mara, of course, will have looked at this race and thought to himself, yes, this is a big chance to get a reasonably substantial prize.
Mm. It's not bad. Not bad prize money at Chelmsford. As usual, I suppose, John, is it because they have less meetings than most all-weather tracks at Chelmsford? That's why they can put on better prize money?
I think that is one of the reasons. But to be fair to the connections behind Chelmsford, they said right from the very start that they would provide good prize money, and that certainly once a week there will be a decent race with a really sound purse to be aimed at. And they've maintained that throughout the period that they've been in charge.
Well, we go from Chelmsford back to the turf to Nottingham for their evening meeting, and the 7.05 is a 6 furlong handicap for 3-year-olds. Only 6 declared for this one, a relatively small field, and an interesting looking race, John.
It's quite interesting to race here at Nottingham over 6 furlongs. And interesting, the top one, Savannah's Dream. You, John, were talking about David O'Meara's chance of taking the big prize at Chelmsford. Perfectly correct to mention that horse. Well, this is a smaller prize for David O'Meara. And Savannah's Dream, could be up to winning. Where's cheap pieces for the first time? And so Andrea Atzini is booked, which is an interesting booking for David O'Meara. Doesn't ride, I think, very often for that particular stable. However, Savannah's Dream has not done very much recently, and the two I prefer are the choice Sheep Scar Lad. Now, many people dismiss this Nigel Tinkler sprinter as being little better than a selling plater, but he ran pretty decently last year, and he seems to have improved quite significantly this time round. He ran fourth at York, for example, last time out, in a much better race than this, and was a winner before that at Pontefract, where I believe you were there.
I was there. It was an impressive winner he ran out there as well, I have to say.
Shouting him home, you were, John.
Unfortunately, my coins were invested elsewhere, Lord Bodden. It was an impressive winner from a...
Yes, but he did well. And Paul Mulrennan is booked to ride, which is interesting too, because Nigel Tinkler, I don't think, very often takes the services of Paul in hand. Then we have Alfonso Manana, who is certainly in there with a chance. Tom Queeley riding for James Given, and was a reasonable winner last time out, and it certainly has a chance of following up. Tom Queeley riding for James Given. Roger Fell's got his horses in really good nick, but one has to say that Lexington Sky might have been one of the exceptions last time out. Not a great race, but I thought Sheep Scar Lad was on the improve, and I think he can win again.
Sheep Scar Lad, the choice of John Budden in the 7.05 at Nottingham. We've had your four selections now for the action on Tuesday, Lord Budden, so would you like to just recap them?
Yeah, and the 2.45 at Catterick, I'm going to go for C. Vermont. in the 2 mile out of 445, the top one, Italian Riviera, over to Chelmsford. And I rather respect what you mentioned about the David O'Meara horse in this race, but I've gone loyally for Pactolus to go well each way, and in the 705, Nottingham, Sheepscar Lad.
Well, thanks very much for your thoughts on Tuesday's racing, John, and for the action at Goodwood last week before that. And we'll see you soon here on the Daily Racing Podcast.
Thank you very much, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.